pull up a chair. Let me tell you about a man who flew with a lion. Not a stuffed toy, not a mascot painted on the cowling. A real, live, growing by the week African lion, strapped into the back of an open airplane, looking out over the wing like he owned the whole sky. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and you're listening to The Hangar, where we keep the old stories alive. Today we need to talk about a fella named Roscoe Turner. Because if you've never heard the name, you've been cheated out of one of the greatest characters this business ever produced. And if you have heard it, well, pour yourself a cup of coffee and sit back, because I promise you there's more to it than you remember. Now, before we get into it, today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. Your first solo, your private pilot certificate, your instrument rating all the way up the ladder. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. And here's the thing, every coin tells a story. Roscoe Turner understood that better than anybody. The man turned his whole life into a story you couldn't look away from. So when you mark your next milestone, mark it with something you can hold in your hand. AviationSoul.com. All right, let me set the scene for you. It's the 1930s. The Great Depression has the country flat on its back. People are standing in bread lines, and yet on a Labor Day weekend, 100,000 folks would pack into a grandstand at the national air races, lay down good money they could barely spare, and crane their necks to watch men fly little airplanes around a closed course of pylons at speeds that frankly should have killed all of them, and a lot of the time it did. This was pylon racing. Wide open, low altitude, knife edge flying. You'd haul one of these stubby little speed machines around a telephone pole stuck in a field, banked over so hard the wingtip looked like it was carving a furrow in the dirt, pulling dick until the blood drained out of your head. And then you'd firewall it down the straightaway and do it again, lap after lap. The crowd loved it. The newspapers ate it up. And out of all that noise and abgas and danger, one man rose up to become the biggest star of them all, Roscoe Turner. Now here's where it gets interesting. Roscoe wasn't born to any of this. He came up poor out of Corinth, Mississippi, born in 1895, farm country. He drove an ambulance in the First World War, got himself over to France, and that's where he caught the bug. He talked his way into flight training, came home, and did what every other broke ex-army flyer did in those years. He barnstormed, wing walkers, county fairs, $5 for a ride over the cornfield. He flew anything that would leave the ground, but Roscoe figured out something early that most of those barnstormers never did. He figured out that flying the airplane was only half the job. The other half was making people look at you. So he built himself a character, and I mean built. He designed his own uniform, a powder blue tunic, the color of a robin's egg, with a Sam Brown belt, riding breeches, gleaming boots up to the knee, and a set of diamond-studded wings on his chest. He waxed his mustache up into two perfect points, and he insisted, absolutely insisted, that everybody call him Colonel. Now the rank was honorary, handed to him by a state governor. But Roscoe wore it like he'd earned it on a battlefield, and in a way, he had. His battlefield was the grandstand. The other pilots laughed at him, called him a showboat, a clown in a costume, and Roscoe just smiled under that waxed mustache and kept signing autographs, because while they were laughing, he was the one getting the sponsorships. He understood that a man in a clean blue uniform shaking hands and grinning for the cameras was a man that companies wanted to put their name on. And that, friends, is how we get to the lion. The Gilmore Oil Company out in California had a red lion for their logo. Their whole slogan was "Roar with Gilmore." And they signed Roscoe up to fly their colors. Now most men would have painted a lion on the side of the airplane and called it a day, not Roscoe Turner. Roscoe went out and got himself a real lion cub, a genuine living, breathing African lion, and he named him Gilmore. Right after the sponsor, he had a parachute custom made for that cat, a little lion-sized parachute, because the authorities told him if he was going to haul a wild animal up to altitude over populated areas, the animal needed a chute same as the pilot. So picture it. Roscoe Turner, powder blue uniform, waxed mustache, climbing into an open cockpit airplane, and behind him, strapped in with his own silk and goggles, a lion cub with the wind in his mane. Gilmore flew with him for years, logged something like 25,000 miles in the air, more than most pilots you'll ever meet. The two of them became the most photographed pair in American aviation. Kids lined up at every airfield to see the flying lion. Roscoe loved that cat, and by every account I've ever read, that cat loved Roscoe right back. He'd ride in the car, he'd lounge around the hangar. He was, for a while there, the most famous animal in the country that didn't live in a zoo. Eventually, of course, Gilmore did what lions do. He got big, got to be 300-400 pounds, and you can't very well share an open cockpit with that. So Gilmore retired from flying and lived out his life in comfort. And when he finally passed on years later, Roscoe couldn't bear to part with him. He had the lion preserved, and he kept him close for the rest of his own life. That tells you everything about the man. Under all the showmanship, the costume, the strut, there was a fellow with a heart big enough to grieve a lion. But let me be clear about something, and this is important. If Roscoe Turner had only been a showman, we wouldn't be talking about him today. The uniform got him the cameras, but it was his hands and his nerve that kept him in front of them, because the man could flat out fly. Let's talk about the hardware. In the early days, he raced the Weddell Williams machines, beautiful, brutal little airplanes out of Louisiana, some of the fastest things going, and then he commissioned what would become his masterpiece. He worked with the Laird Company and then rebuilt it into his own design, the Turner Meteor. Racing number 25, a big, powerful, low-wing monster of a racer with a radial engine up front that you could hear coming from the next county. This wasn't some delicate little ship. This was a thoroughbred with a temper, and Roscoe rode it to glory. He won the Thompson Trophy, the premier closed-course pylon race in the country, the one everybody wanted, three times, 1934, 1938, 1939, three times. Nobody else ever did that. He's the only three-time winner of that trophy in history. He also took the Bendix Trophy, which was the cross-country dash coast-to-coast flat-out, back in 1933. He set transcontinental speed records like other men set their watches, for the better part of a decade if there was a big race and a big prize. Roscoe Turner was either winning it or scaring the daylights out of the man who did. Now I want you to understand what that took, because it's easy to hear 1-3 trophies and not feel it. Picture flying that meteor around the pylons. No G-suit, no fancy avionics. A round dial cockpit, the smell of hot oil and exhaust blowing back in your face, the airframe shuddering, the engine screaming at full song, and you've got the airplane banked over past 90 degrees, the ground rushing up at you, hauling back on the stick so hard your vision goes gray at the edges, all of it 300-400 feet off the deck where there is no room, none, to make a mistake. And the other racers are right there with you, wingtip to wingtip, all of you trying to cut the same pylon as tight as physics will allow. Men died doing this, good men friends of his. Roscoe Turner did that, and he did it better and longer than just about anybody, and he did it in a powder blue suit with his initials on it and a stuffed lion spirit in the back seat. There is a kind of courage that hides behind a quiet face, and then there's Roscoe's kind, the kind that puts on a show because it isn't the least bit afraid. Now here's the part that I think gets lost. The flamboyant racer, the lion, the mustache, that's the postcard. But Roscoe Turner did something with all that fame that mattered a great deal more. He took his winnings and his name, and he put them into the future of flying. He set up shop in Indianapolis and built the Turner Aeronautical Corporation, a flying school, a real one. And when the Second World War came roaring down on this country, and we suddenly needed pilots, thousands and thousands of pilots, faster than anybody knew how to make them, Roscoe Turner's operation was right there training young men to fly. The showman became a teacher. The clown in the costume, as some had called him, turned around and helped build the very pipeline of aviators that this nation leaned on in its darkest hour. I think about that a lot. We get a little snobby sometimes, those of us who've been around airplanes a long while. We see somebody flashy, somebody loud, somebody who's better at selling the airplane than the rest of us, and we want to write him off. Roscoe Turner is the reason I don't anymore, because the loud man in the blue suit trained the quiet men who went and won a war. And here's a thing that took far too long. For decades, the military never quite knew what to make of Roscoe. His colonelcy was honorary, remember, he was a civilian. But in 1952, the country finally got around to recognizing what the man had given to aviation, and Roscoe Turner was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. After all those years after the racing was long over, and the golden age had faded into memory, they finally pinned it on him. He passed in 1970, and his great racer, the Meteor, number 25, the airplane that carried him to those three Thompson victories, it didn't end up rusting in a barn somewhere. Thank goodness it hangs today in the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum, where you can stand underneath it and look up at those lines and that paint and imagine the roar. If you ever get to Washington, go find it. Stand there a minute. Think about the man in the blue uniform and the lion in the back seat. Because that's the thing about the Golden Age, friends. Back when Avgas was cheap and airspace was free, we had room in this country for characters. We had room for a man to be the best pilot in the field and the biggest ham in the field at the very same time. And for those two things not to cancel each other out, but to multiply. We don't make many like Roscoe Turner anymore. The sky's gotten more crowded, the rules have gotten thicker, and the showmen have mostly moved on to other arenas. I understand why. I even agree with most of it. But every now and again I miss it. I miss the days when a fella could strap a lion into an airplane and 100,000 people would show up just to watch him grin. My thanks to the historians and archivists at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, and to the long memory of the National Air Races, for keeping Roscoe's story where the rest of us can find it. There's more where this came from over at RadioHangar.com. So here's to the colonel, to the blue suit, the waxed mustache, the three trophies, and a lion named Gilmore, who logged more air miles than most of us ever will. Fly it like you mean it, and don't ever be ashamed to put on a little bit of a show. I'm Taildragger. Keep the dirty side down.